Emma Kent.
And I'm Derek Russell, and this is The Memo,
a podcast of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and djournal.com.
Happy Friday the 13th. Welcome to The Memo, or whenever you're listening to this, but it's coming out on Friday the 13th, so...
You're cursed. If you're listening to this...
You're all cursed.
It's Friday the 13th, and everyone knows you're not supposed to listen to podcasts on Friday the
13th. Is that what the rule is?
Otherwise, your ears will be cursed for...
Automatically claws start coming out, and hair, and you become the werewolf.
Good luck out there,
yeah,
everyone.
You've just ruined yourself completely.
Turn this off now.
What are you going to be
I'm just kidding. Please don't.
Don't turn this off. What are you going to be for Halloween, Emma?
I'm embarrassed.
How do you dress for that? Yeah. Thank you. High five.
No, that's not it. You guys are going to think it's really lame.
No more than that joke we just both did, right?
So, I have to explain this. So, okay. My husband, Jacob, is kind of, when he was younger, he was really into collecting bugs. And... We kind of joke about it now because it's like kind of...
Like in a glass case or yeah, just like in a jar, like they're mine.
No, they like okay. collecting and like pinning them and like, the real deal.
Like
right?
the real, okay.
And so for Halloween, he's going to be a bug collector and I'm going to be a bug and our dog is going to be a bug.
What kind of bug?
I'm undecided, but
Are
we
you
got...
going to have like the pins in your shoulders
we're,
sticking
We're
out?
Still working out the details. Okay,
like... To styrofoam, like behind
we're still working it out.
All right,
we're still working it out. But and then yeah, well, we did buy a costume for our dog. She's going to be a bee.
Do you have somewhere to go with this, or is this just going to be at the house?
Just at our house.
Okay, all right.
We just like Halloween.
Okay.
Halloween is our anniversary, also.
That is true. I forgot about that. Yeah. You were married on Halloween.
Yes. Yeah. So, what are you going to be, Derek?
Probably embarrassed. Yeah, like we talked about earlier. I am that most of the time. I don't know. I don't usually do much of anything.
You seem like the kind of person who would dress up, though.
I like Halloween. I just, I don't know. I'm not very creative or inventive. My daughter has been planning for months to be Wonder Woman. Months. Like, has been piecing stuff together on her own and... hiding them on a shelf in her closet, like keeping everything together, excited for it. And then she just took a right-hand turn last week, and now she's somebody from Descendants.
From the what?
Descendants. It's a Disney movie.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
It's about the kids of the villains. So it's like Jafar's
son, I do know about this.
And Maleficent's daughter.
So which one is she going to be?
She is the evil queen's daughter from Snow White. So her name is Evie, and she has blue hair and a leather vest and
whoa,
yeah,
swerve,
fingerless gloves.
That'd be cool. That'd be a cool costume.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be cool.
The costume's cool, but it was just like 6 months after seeing Wonder Woman in the theaters. Like Wonder Woman, Wonder Woman, I want a Wonder Woman birthday party. I want to be Wonder Woman for Halloween. I want Wonder Woman everything. Evie, and then just all of a sudden it was. Like a knee-jerk reaction, like an impulse buy.
What kids do.
Yeah. And I was like, you've been planning this. I don't care what you are.
Right. Had y'all bought Wonder Woman costume already?
Well, she had been wanting not so much the costume, but like with her own money through allowance and stuff for her chores, she had like bought a sword and bought the shield and the cuffs. So she had... Stuff she wanted, I guess, anyway, but she anyway, was piecing, yeah. she was piecemealing the
But
the
you wouldn't have had together. To spend any more money.
Correct.
You were all set.
Yeah,
we
were good to go. And I mean, she didn't have the tiara or anything, but right. we were good to go on everything. And then it was Disney character, so.
And it's not Halloween yet, so who knows?
True. Could go completely right. south
go
again. Yeah, could go back, could go.
Could go to option
number
three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what she was last year, so. She was a Ghostbuster last
yeah,
year.
Yeah, I thought I remembered that.
Yeah. Like, what were you last year?
Disappointed? I was 11 from Stranger Things.
Oh, no, it would have been last year because that was season one. Yeah, yeah. I was thinking that was year before last, yeah. but season two coming.
I know, I'm really excited.
October 27th. Ready? Now you could be 11 with
watch.
Hair.
I know,
but
we still
were 11 with hair.
I mean, I had hair last year.
You didn't commit. You didn't go all in.
I didn't commit. No, I didn't commit. unfortunately.
Yeah. I would have actually made a good 11.
Yeah, you would have. Last year.
Yeah.
Jacob made a good Barb, I remember.
Yeah, Jacob dressed up as Barb.
It's pretty funny.
What did I tell him to do this year? We were talking about being something.
A bug catcher from the
No. Before maybe. That. But it also involved him being a woman. And he was like, I can't do that 2 years in a row. And he was like, I can't do it 2 years in a row. So I don't remember what it was.
So the semantics of yours are still in works. As far as he goes, does he just have a net or what? Like, what's his gimmick?
Yeah, he's going to have like a nice hat, like a fancy hat and a net and probably a big magnifying glass and
magnifying glass,
a little carrier thing for the bugs, maybe some like chloroform.
Chris, what do you... Hey, does this smell like chloroform? Chris, what are your kids going to be?
they're gonna be Star Wars. Daniel's going to be Luke Skywalker, and Joseph, who loves the dark side, is going to be a stormtrooper, which is his favorite. So.
Nice. And you, Indiana?
I don't know.
Nothing, okay. All right.
Hadn't thought that far ahead yet.
We'll get you something.
All right.
Something really nice.
Do people wear costumes to work on Halloween? Is that a thing?
Actually, used to here.
Yeah.
I mean, did it always happens on the Friday before Halloween, and I'm never here. So,
but
I always
other
miss
people
out on.
Like.
Oh yeah,
like out in normal the world. People.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably not.
Yeah. Do it.
I was just curious.
It happens. You've watched The Office. That's real.
Oh my gosh. That's so real.
Every Halloween episode of The Office was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, we do have a little haunted story to talk about when we get to the scene section today. We're at TCT's Haunted Theater, so there's something a little scary. I don't know.
Yes,
I don't
very
think Jenna's food section is scary, nor is Blade Runner 2049, the movie Scott Morris saw. But you can look forward to a little ghost talk at the end of the episode for today.
Good.
If you're not completely cursed, and
gotta keep that up. If you make it to the end,
yeah.
Dun, 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 dun.
Are we going to do a ghost story episode this year?
Sure.
If we can come up with
we'll bring Brad in and see you get an update.
Ghost update.
Yeah.
I feel like we can do something. We should do something.
We need to brainstorm. Let's get
something
close.
Spooky.
Yeah, let's do it.
Was that last year we did that, or was that year before last?
It was last year.
You're skipping a year in your mind.
What happened?
I think you wiped last year out.
Where did the last year go? No, I remember, obviously, last year. I just keep putting it off further.
Well... Let's do it. Let's get to it.
All right, Miss Bug.
Okay,
I don't know.
I'll take it.
Ladybug.
Okay, now we've got food editor Jenna Parsons here to talk about this week's food section. Before we get to food, though, I want to talk about your tiny kitten.
My tiny Jack.
Yes. So how is he doing?
Jack is doing very well. This morning we were calling him Jumping Jack Flash because we think that the Rolling Stones must have had a kitten, and that's what inspired them. He was jumping. He was scooting around on the bed, playing with us, and just darting around. He's precious. He did lose part of his tail yesterday. I found him playing with it in the floor, but everything's good. And we did lose an eye that was matted shut when I found him on a walk one morning, and Mom had abandoned him. He had an upper respiratory infection, and the vet said she probably needed to give her attention to the other kittens that she had that she could take care of. And so she just kind of left him by the road at 3 weeks old. And I picked him up and took him home, and we've been bottle feeding every 3-4 hours, and now he is a little roly-poly. I don't know how he runs as quickly as he does with the tummy that is there, but he's precious.
So are y'all going to keep him?
If somebody out there just...
I probably shouldn't have asked you that on.
If somebody out there just had to have him, because we already have 3 cats and a 15-year-old dog, I think I could possibly part with him. But, you know, we're fixing to be gone for 2 weeks to Italy. And so that's going to either... make the heart grow fonder or out of sight, out of mind. So if I thought he could go to a good home, I think I could give him away.
Yeah.
I say that now, but.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, you wrote about him in your column this week, and that you made a bacon cheddar quiche one night.
Yes. We, the first 2 weeks that we had him, he just sort of consumed us and our time. And
it's like
and
a baby.
So, yes, like a baby. And I didn't have time to cook. We ate out a bunch or more like brought in, you know, Subway or Chinese or Mexican or something. But I had a bridal luncheon that I had committed to 3 or 4 months ago. And the three ladies and I that did the luncheon, we decided one of the main entree would be quiche. And so we each made a quiche. And people think quiche is so complicated. It's, you know, it's four ingredients. It's eggs and milk and or cream and bacon and cheese or sausage or whatever you want to put in it and a store-bought pie crust. So it looked pretty and it looked fancy, but it was really easy. So I was glad that we had chosen something easy to do for that luncheon or it just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. Well, it sounded really good. So I have to try that one out sometime soon. So now let's talk about your cook of the week this week. She, Stefina, is that how you say?
Stefina. Stefina Folks, I met about 15 years ago. She and her husband have a fish and steak house in Monroe County, kind of near the Wren Coontail area, called the Friendship House. And it's a really, really popular place. And so I did a story about the Friendship House back in, I don't know, 2002 or 3. And then, you know, I think about her from time to time, but somebody nominated her and said, you know, I know you did a story about the restaurant years ago, but I would love to know her story and get some of her recipes. And of course, she wouldn't give the recipes they use in the restaurant.
Of course.
But she did give some family recipes. And so I got to go and visit with her and get some ideas from her. She made an amalgamation cake, which I always think of as a holiday cake because it's got a lot of expensive ingredients in it. And she made that for us on her a Fostoria cake stand that her grandmother had one. I think they broke it, but she found another one that was just like it. And then she also made a big casserole for us. We did not partake, but it was all pretty.
Well, I can see the picture of the cake here in the paper, and it looks very good.
Yes.
So, okay. Well, and then lastly, of course, Elizabeth High School, the chef and caterer and cookbook author. So she has a new cookbook coming out called What Can I Bring? Southern Food for Any Occasion Life Serves Up, which I thought was really clever. Sort of that, you know, because people always do that.
What can I bring?
What can I bring? What can I bring?
And right.
I thought that was really clever. So what about that cookbook and sort of the concept behind it? You talked to her.
She has been, there's a little gift shop here in Tupelo called About the South.
Mm-hmm.
And they carry some of her products. They carry her Bloody Mary mix. She goes by the Debutante Farmer is her sort of her brand. And she does a Bloody Mary mix and pimento cheese and chicken salad that she sells out of About the South. And they are, I can't even buy them anymore because they are so good and so addictive. And so I was aware of her for several years. And then a couple of years ago, she was named the food contributor for the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
So she's on the Today Show sometimes every 2 weeks, sometimes every 6 weeks, depending on when they need her. And she also, there is a column that runs in Southern Living Magazine called What Can I Bring? And she, it's not her column, but it's a column the magazine has. And so they, Oxmoor House, approached her about writing a cookbook with them
mm-hmm.
Based on that, you know, What Can I Bring? So she said she could have written this in her sleep. This was second nature to her. This is what, as a caterer, this is what she does. You know,
right.
She takes food to people. So she's kind of broken the cookbook up into chapters. Like a lot of cookbooks are broken into entrees, appetizers, desserts, breads, salads. This one is broken into occasions like baby showers and tailgating and potlucks and moving day. And I do have to say that it does have her recipe for her pimento cheese and for her chicken salad. So if I want to eat those decadent things, now I can make them myself.
I'm going to have to check it out. I actually saw her in this month's Southern Living.
She was. She was in the What Can I Bring column.
We had had something because she's coming to the Novel Affair.
She is. She's the guest chef for the Novel Affair in the spring. I think that's in March or April.
Yeah.
We had a story in the paper a couple of weeks ago about that.
I recognized her photo and it was there was a photo of her similar in Southern Living, and I was like, oh, I know who that is.
Yes.
And then, so I put it together.
She is hot right now. I mean, she is everywhere, but just as down to earth, when I got there for the interview, we met at a coffee shop, and she had, at work, she had brushed up against, I guess, some sort of food dish, so she had, like sauce pressed on of her dress, and you know, it didn't even faze her.
I'm sure that's pretty normal for her.
I would think
if you worked, you know, cooking all day.
One thing she told me, and I didn't put this in the story, is I asked her, you know, you cater all day. Do you cook at home in the evenings for your family? They've got three girls, and she said, well, I do, but she said, sometimes I make it at work. So while I'm getting food together for an occasion for somebody else, I'll go ahead and cook our dinner while I'm in the kitchen anyway and bring it home. But she said that the girls don't think they say, oh, somebody else made this, you know, at the shop,
mom.
Yeah, they don't believe that she actually put some thought into bringing them dinner home. It's just like, no, you just brought this from work.
That's funny. Yeah, well.
And we have a couple of her recipes that we're running, some grits souffle and lasagna, which is her favorite meal, and her family's favorite meal.
It's a classic.
You can see those recipes in Wednesday's food section.
Awesome. Well, I'll have to check those out and maybe try to cook one, especially the pimento cheese. I love pimento cheese.
Oh, this one, yeah. I'll let you borrow the cookbook when.
Yeah, I'll have to get it from you. All right. Well, thanks, Jenna.
Thank you.
If you like podcasts, look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with Brad Locke and Dalton Middleton. New episodes air every Wednesday, and you can listen to it for free in iTunes podcast apps or at preprally.djournal.com. Ole Miss and Mississippi State fans can check out the Double Coverage podcast. Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry release a new episode every Thursday afternoon in which they provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free in iTunes, on podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
And be sure to listen to the Daily Journal's newest podcast, Open, The Case of Leochi, featuring Emma. Emma takes a fresh look at the unsolved disappearance of a 13-year-old Tupelo girl from 25 years ago. That includes a potentially overlooked witness and a person of interest in the case that police have never spoken about publicly. The 6-episode investigative serial podcast is now available in iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and a variety of other podcast apps. Or you can stream it from our website, djournal.com/openpodcast.
All right, now we've got Scott Morris here. Resident movie critic.
That's right, that's me.
Yeah. How you doing, Scott?
I'm here to make this podcast great again.
Let's do it then.
All right.
So you wrote about Blade Runner this week, the new Blade Runner, 2049.
Yeah.
Jinx.
That's true. I don't know what we do after that. Do you have to buy me a Coca-Cola? Is that how it works? Something like that?
Well, I don't know who buys who one.
Well, I think it's you.
Whoever says it first, huh? So I just
No, I think you would buy me one just out of principle.
We'll come back to that.
All right.
So, yeah, so you gave it a C-.
Yeah.
And said it needs more editing. It was a little too long. Yeah, what did you think?
Well, I went on Rotten Tomatoes yesterday to look around, and apparently a lot of people thought this was a worthy successor of Blade Runner that came out in 1982 with Harrison Ford. I love that movie. I considered it a holy relic. I own a copy of it, and apparently, I got one of the director's cuts that had a scene in it that my kids shouldn't have been watching, but they saw it. But that's okay. They're already, the words their mother uses, they're already kind of used to things. But so I'm a fan of the movie, the original, and so I was bound and determined to see this no matter what critics said, so I didn't even look at any kind of other reviews. And the reason that I grew up on science fiction, that's the first books I read were science fiction, and I like the fact that the ideas involved that it evokes. And this one has some really cool ideas going through. If you think about it, Kay is a replicant. That means he's a created being to serve humans in this alternate universe that's somewhat parallel to ours, but different. And, you know, part of the story relies upon his memories. The replicants are given memories so that they can be easier, so it's easier to control them. But the memory that was implanted, or was it, you know, is affects how he what he does, and it ends up creating all kinds of trouble for him and people around him, and perhaps even millions of people and replicants and humans alike. And so, you know, it's sort of a question like, someone with Alzheimer's, if I had Alzheimer's, I'd still be Scott Morris, but how much of me would be? Mm-hmm. You know, it'd be a consistency of who I am. But if I don't remember what I did, you know, who am I in relation to what I did? Interesting questions that matter. And I like thinking about those kind of things. I've been thinking about them even with this movie. There's a relationship between a replicant K, played by Ryan Gosling, and a digital hologram. And it's like, what is their relationship worth? The movie kind of makes me ask that question, especially in this era of digital relationships. And so there's a lot of interesting, meaty things happening. I don't think this is a spoiler, because if you saw Blade Runner and you saw any of the previews, you would know that Harrison Ford is in it, reprising his role as Decker. Mm-hmm. And so because a case goes bad for Kay, he ends up tracking down Decker, and a lot of people want to find Decker. And so that's the storyline, is that there's a secret I'm not going to tell you that they're trying to unravel. And Decker is the key to all of these secrets. And so the police want the secrets to disappear, and the corporations want it for their own purposes. And so there's a lot happening, interesting stuff. It's just that for me, I just felt like it was too self-indulgent in how long it took a scene to play out. There is one moment, I won't describe it to you because it's crucial, but we spend so much time. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's something we're supposed to get, but I mean, I got it. Who wouldn't have gotten it if the scene were like 2 minutes shorter? But we just kind of stay there for another couple of minutes of pounding sound to like hammer in the fact that this matters when we already know that matters. And several scenes just seem to drag on for a long time. I think easily 30, this movie is an hour and 63 minutes long. Is it 163 minutes long? There we go, 163 minutes long. And at 133, I think it would have been a great, great movie. I just think it goes too much. And at the end of it, it's like I spent so much time in this movie sitting there going, I'm in the theater. And I hate that feeling because it means I'm not caught up in the act, caught up in the show. And again, so much, it would redeem itself in ways that would be, okay, that's interesting. But then, let's sit and be interesting it goes beyond the point of interesting for me. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll say Rotten Tomatoes gives it an 87, which is a C-minus in my world. It's like a 71 or 72. And so compared to 87, I'm kind of out with most of them. But still, I stand by it. I mean, I still might want to see it again, just again because there's so much happening. Mm-hmm. But I can't recommend it to anybody to sit through and just kind of plod through unless they're really, really interested in the Blade Runner canon, the Blade Runner world.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of talking on my part.
Yeah, no, but that's fine. I think a lot of movies, when you realize that the movie's been going on for so long, it kind of ruins the whole thing for you. Like, I know that I have that feeling a lot when you see a movie that's just really long, and you're like, shouldn't this be over now?
Well, see, I'm not against long movies.
Right.
I'm against movies that feel long.
Right.
You know, as a writer, I mean, you know, sometimes you can read something and it feels like it's very short, although it's one of the longer things you've written, because if it's interesting, if it keeps making connections, keep going, then it doesn't read long. Mm-hmm. But some things read long, and in which case people don't finish them.
Right. you don't want to realize how long you've been
exactly
watching it, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And so to me, I have to go ahead and, you know, question myself, because that's the kind of person I am, is have I been trained for a fast movie, for quick takes and things like that in this modern era? I mean, I have a smartphone, and so, you know, I want quick stuff. Let's go. Come on. Get out of the way. That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so that could have played with the way. But I also, I don't mind slow-moving movies. But this one just seemed like it had Blade Runner in the title, so let's run a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
So, C-. That's about the best I can do for you on Blade Runner 2049.
Well, I still think I'm going to go see it.
Have you seen the earlier, the first one?
I haven't
one?
Seen the original.
I think it would serve you to see the
see
original.
The, see the original first.
Well, this is everything about the plot grows out of that. I mean, I think you can figure it out, but it grows out of what happened, and the original keeps coming into play at different moments that you might not expect.
Well, then I'll have to watch that one first and then go see this one.
You don't have to. I would just recommend it.
Well, that would make sense.
But, I mean, there's definitely DNA, shared DNA. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally, actually, now that I think about it. So.
All right.
Yeah, I don't remember what else. I think I saw my son, seen the original, like, on Showtime or something when I was a kid. But the last time I saw it, it was just such a, there are people who don't like the movie, I understand that, but it's such an example of just everyone in the story. I don't know, this is just, everyone in the story is vulnerable at some point, you know, and like you're talking about in a hero movie, you know, that these characters in Blade Runner, every one of them at some point or another is vulnerable to their own emotions and to death and to whatever. And when I realized that, it just kind of changed the entire movie for me. As far as like how it was constructed to bring these moments of and it was a study of what it, I mean, it was like, it was the same thing. It was based on Philip K. Dick's novel, The Android's Dream of Electric Sheep. And, you know, if you can create a being that can do everything that a human can do, can that being feel? And then, you know, in the olden days, scientists would believe this. They would say that when they were doing their experiments on dogs, and the dogs would howl in pain, they would say, well, actually, the dog's not really feeling pain. The dog is just exhibiting behavior mm-hmm. of pain or mimicking pain. And so they used that kind of idea to, like, you know, make the dog much more less than what it was. And then the story of Blade Runner is, I mean, it's based on a book that came before a science. I mean, who's better than whom, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it's a science fiction story about who was constructed and who was not. And so clearly, as a human being, I'm better than you. As a non-human being, even though you're stronger than I am, you're faster than I am, and you seem to feel as deeply or more so than I do. And those are interesting questions to consider. And that's what good science fiction does. And so I have a hard time dismissing completely Blade Runner 2049 because I think it has its own questions that, as we mentioned earlier, are interesting.
Yeah.
And you still owe me a Coke.
We'll get to that.
I think that was...
I'll give
well,
you
that's what we decided, was it not, Chris?
I don't know. It sounds like you were setting the rules on that one.
Well, I mean...
I'll give you 50 cents.
She jinxed you. I think you have to buy the Coke to undo the jinx.
I don't. I think it's the other way around. I don't know how they do it in New Orleans, but in Northeast Mississippi, it's got its own set of rules, and I feel like you're messing with things.
All right. Well, thanks, Scott, for being on the show today.
Oh, you betcha.
Don't forget to watch the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast every Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. Watch live on Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. or catch the replay later in the day.
And wake up and get ready for your day with the Daily Journal's News Break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a 5-minute video. Shows will be posted every Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. You can watch them for free at any time at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, or the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices. Stay informed on the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
Emma, would you like to hear about the scene section this week?
I suppose.
Well, if you don't want to, we can always skip it. No, actually, you could just leave and I could still talk about it.
No, I'm going to stay.
Okay, good.
I'd like to hear about it.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it is the annual Haunted Theater at Tupelo Community Theater. They do a huge event every year, and this year is no different. I believe this is the 12th, maybe the 13th year of the event.
Ooh, the 13th year?
Yeah, starting on Friday the 13th. It opens today.
Wow.
And last year, they started doing themes. Before, it was just like, you know, a labyrinth, and each room would be a different... This is the torture room, and, you know, this is the room where they jump out and scare you and all this. But last year, year before last, they started doing themes. Last year was a spaceship crash within the theater, and the whole... Once you walked in the theater, you were in the interior of the...
Like Haunted Aliens?
Yeah.
Where they're like, it's like X-Files kind of
yeah,
stuff?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like Alien, I guess, you know, that kind of thing. This year is a castle. Is medieval times. Medieval? I never can say that. Medieval?
Medieval?
Medieval? It's just medieval, isn't it?
You got it.
Yeah,
it's like medieval. M-E-D-E-I-V.
Like I always thought it was like the middle of the evil times.
Yeah, that's right. That's
the Middle Ages.
The evil here. Right? The evil starts and stops, and then this is right in the center of it. Right? Yeah. So dungeons and you know that kind of thing. I don't know if there's any dragons.
Is there going to be a live dragon? I heard that somewhere.
Did you hear there's a live dragon?
I heard that.
I can't back that up.
On the internet.
On the internet.
And I'd like to know.
Yeah, they're cashing in on Game of Thrones big time with this thing. Yeah, I walked in. I walk through it every year, and I go when it's still light outside, so I'm not completely terrified when they do this to me. But the first one of the first things is there's a drawbridge with a moat, and I can't tell you how it works. To do so would reveal the secrets, but it's one of the coolest effects I have ever seen in person, and was very scary. Yeah. So
I've never been to the Haunted Theater. And
it's awesome.
I really want to go, but Jacob he doesn't like scary things.
Uh-huh. Well, this is scary.
Yeah. So I can't go with him. So I don't know.
They don't touch you here. They will chase you, but they don't touch you.
Like he told me that he went in high school one time and left because he was so afraid. Oh. He just really doesn't like that kind of stuff, which is fine. But I got to find somebody to go with.
I'll go with you. Leslie Chris loves going to it.
Oh, does she?
Yeah. And Cheryl hates.
Oh, she doesn't like.
Nothing. Huh. Especially clowns. Clowns stay away from her. There's a few jesters in this.
Jesters. Yeah. Jesters are different.
Yeah, that's totally different.
Tone down a little.
Yeah. So it takes about 25 minutes to walk through the entire maze that they set up each year.
How long does it take to get through it if they capture you?
They don't capture you because they don't touch you.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. They do not touch. They are a no-touch haunt.
That sounds like New Age.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a religion. Right. It's a no-touch haunt. Be free. But it is well worth the money. Tickets are $15, but the event is not recommended for ages 10 and under, unless you're just a terrible parent. So you want to take your kids to it. And it starts today. It's actually every Friday and Saturday in October, starting today at 7 p.m. We'll go all night. And they get about 500 people a night through there. Wow. So it's a huge event for TCT.
Exciting.
Yes.
Scary.
Yes, it is. There's also the Lady in Black.
Is that you?
No.
I
thought it was Jacob.
Oh. Yeah.
It's a callback to earlier.
I get the joke. Yeah. I just didn't know how to.
Sorry.
I just didn't.
It was a bad joke about that. We'll just go with it. It was not a good reference. And
so many good jokes. It has to be explained.
So anyway, it's, the Lady in Black will chase you.
That sounds creepy.
Mm-hmm. But it won't touch you.
But it will not touch you. It is a no touch haunt
zone.
And the theater
is. No touch zone.
The theater is actually haunted.
Yes, right? It is. Antoine, who died in the 36 tornado when the theater was turned into a makeshift hospital. I have had several encounters with Antoine, personally.
Nice guy, or?
Just a mischievous little kid, not mean, just,
Have there ever been
teenager
sightings in relation to the haunted theater?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
So he makes an appearance. Yes. He's like, oh, what's up? I do this all the time.
Yeah.
You guys are amateurs. Let me show you how to really do this.
Yeah, let me show
you. You want me to sign something for you? I was telling somebody today that had asked me if I had ever had an encounter. And when we were doing one of the biggest ones I ever had is when we were doing a Christmas carol a couple of Christmases ago, which is an appropriate time to do a Christmas carol. At Christmas time.
Was this a no-touch haunt encounter?
This was, the cast had left. I was still up there working on the set. It was well past midnight. I had gone to turn the lights out and was exiting across the stage and tripped over one of the back braces to a flat and went down face first, and Antoine started laughing at me.
How loud?
Like loud.
What did you do?
Stop it! Turned around and walked out. I've had my hammer moved. When I've been up there by myself.
Good relationship.
Yeah. I mean, he's just like, not today, Antoine. Stop it.
Has he ever called you by name?
Not today. No. I've never heard words.
Okay.
I've heard laughing. I've had several run-ins, but yeah, that one of the most blatant was the falling in the dark by myself and hearing him start to giggle.
And you I was sure like, wasn't
no,
Tom
no, 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 it was not. I was there by myself. So, wow. Leslie Chris has been on the catwalk before, and I forget why it was up there, but there was a football up there, and the football was taken away and moved back in the attic when she was up there by herself. I've just had like a hammer, like been on a ladder with a hammer, and then all of a sudden the hammer's down like at the bottom of the ladder, like stuff like that. Other people have had far more.
You've never seen it moving, though, like floating through the air?
No, nothing like that.
Interesting.
But, you know, laughter.
It's creepy.
Which is terrifying.
It's very creepy.
A child's laughter is one of the most terrifying things in the world. I don't care if it's your kid, somebody else's
kid. Like The Shining.
Like Daniel, and I'm sorry. I just, if I heard them laughing, I'd be like, nope, I'm gone. It's like, it's their birthday. They're just, they're happy. Nope, I'm not.
Wow.
Yeah.
All righty.
Yeah.
Derek doesn't like happy kids.
Go to the haunted theater.
Going on?
Hey, today's Chili Fest.
Chili Fest.
Is going on in downtown Tupelo.
Nothing goes better with
Friday the 13th.
Friday the 13th than a big bowl of chili.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Cursed podcasts and chili. Nothing says Friday the 13th.
Like, wards off evil spirits, right?
Yeah. That's what happens. 5 p.m.
All those beans.
Yeah. It's...
keeps the spirits away.
5 p.m. with live music. You can check that out. Also, West of Shake Rag and Tupelo's Improv Comedy Group. Their show is Saturday at the Link Center at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $5 for that. So it's cooler weather, and I'm happy about that. And as we get more into the Halloween,
I actually think that tomorrow is supposed to be hot again.
Oh, well, never mind.
So,
back up this weekend, huh?
Yeah.
Well, forget I said any of that then. It was so nice walking out Thursday morning, how cool it was.
I know. I walked outside and I was, you know, happy again.
If I drank coffee, I would have wanted to walk outside.
You don't drink coffee?
I don't drink coffee.
You're a monster.
I used to, but
I'm just kidding. You're not. I understand. Everyone has their reasons.
To each his own.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
Well, I worked in one for so long that it was just like, no more.
Yeah. Huh. I'm drinking coffee.
It's like Chris Kiefer. I worked with one so long that anybody named Chris, I'm just like,
the worst.
Yeah, stay away.
Wow.
I'm kidding. I don't feel that way. I like the smell of coffee. I like being around. I don't like drinking it.
Yeah. So what do you get when you go to like a coffee shop?
Just depends. I like a chai tea. I like hot tea.
A chai tea is good.
I like a caramel apple spice.
That sounds good right now.
But those put me to sleep after the initial sugar crash. So.
Side note about tea. Totally side note. Well, we're talking about tea. It's not that much. Yeah, so I've had sort of like a cold and like my sinuses.
You've had sort of like a cold?
Have been...
ish.
What? Yeah, I mean, you kind of, I don't know what it is.
Just sinuses.
Okay. I don't know what it is. But anyway, so I like looked online. I was like, you know, like hot tea to help your sinuses or something. You know, I was looking up like stuff I could do. And so one of them was like, oh, here's a mixture that will help clear your sinuses out. And I was like, great. So I made it last night. It was hot water, lemon juice, turmeric, the spice, which is what's in mustard. It makes it yellow. It's gross.
Did it help?
And ginger.
Well, don't rush it. She's building.
I thought she was done.
She's storytelling.
And ginger. So it was like, you know, put all that stuff into a cup of hot water, mix it up and drink it. And it was disgusting.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. But did it work?
You know, I think it did help.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I had a bad cold back in the spring and did the whole, not apple cider, but what's the stuff? It's so bitter.
The stuff?
Oh, that stuff.
Hang on.
Apple cider vinegar?
Apple cider vinegar. That's it. Yeah. I did that apple cider vinegar with the hot water and the honey. Ugh.
But did it work? It's,
yeah.
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 Yeah, it's apple rough. Cider vinegar.
You're not familiar with this, Chris?
No, I haven't heard that one, but...
Oh, cayenne pepper in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it worked.
I bet it did.
Cayenne pepper, honey, apple cider vinegar, and hot water.
When I had, at one time in Coldies. College.
In my Snoopy mug.
Eminem is a deep believer in Coldies.
They're not paying us, so we don't need to do
this. They work, though. I had a cold coming on last week, and I just took 4 Coldies for 2 days, and it never came. It happens all the time. Coldies and vitamin C. Echinacea.
Well, there you have it, folks.
You're a weird Louisianian.
Hey, it keeps the colds away.
One time when I had a really bad cold in college, my stepmom told me to stick my face into a bowl of salt water.
Yeah.
And it, like, kind of helped, but also I kind of felt like I was drowning.
Yeah. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, your face was in water, so, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. It was confusing.
Yeah.
Relief, but also drowning.
Also dying. Yeah, a little, yeah.
At the same time.
I feel better, but so much worse also. Yeah.
I feel better, but also I can't
breathe.
But
also... Call the morgue.
Whoa.
You're drowning. You're literally drowning.
But I made it.
Thank God.
I'm here.
Yes. We're so happy for that. Well, next week we'll be discussing other things.
Things
I don't
that
know
are
what.
More pleasant.
Probably. Not, hopefully. Not dying by the hands of salt water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's strong stuff.
Just don't stick your face. I mean, that just seems like logical to me. Don't stick your face in a pot of salt water.
But it was. She said it would help.
Yeah, it helped. I mean, like if I got a huge pain in my foot, it's gonna help if I start cutting my hand off. I'm gonna forget. But it's not. That's not any
no,
better.
No, it's like when you go. It's like when you go swimming in the ocean.
It clears up.
Your, and yeah. It helps, and it makes you. It's like a neti pot, basically.
Yeah, but you're still shoving.
But
your
you
face
could just use a neti
underwater.
Pot. So
why don't you just use a neti pot?
I do.
Pot?
I have one.
I did that one time, and I was like, nope. I feel like I'm dying. I might as well have been.
They're
hell
so helpful.
Underwater.
It's magical.
I'll do whatever it takes if there's a cold coming on. I don't care. I don't care if it makes you miserable. It'd be better than the cold. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I love shrimp.
Yeah, I know you do. You're a big fan of shrimp. He's allergic.
I still eat him.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
No big deal.
No big deal.
All right.
Well, you gotta live.
Back on Wednesday with a new week of episodes. Until then, you can find us online at memo.djournal.com. And new episodes, to find out when they're up, you can follow us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. And all the stories discussed today are in your daily journal from this week or online at DJournal.com. And we'll see you guys next time.
Goodbye.